Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
May I have your attention, please? Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's own, Gwen and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
It actually keeps people from, at the end of the year, where they know they're not in the playoffs, because if you don't, you could end up playing a flute at the Embarcadero.
And Chris Ello.
Just trying to do a radio show here, and Scraby's babbling on about stuff during the break. We have to turn your mic off just to return to the airwaves.
We're here at Petco.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to the program. Shortly after 4 o'clock, short show today. We'll be with you till about 5:45. Then it's a Padre pregame. Padre baseball tonight at 6:45. Padres against the San Francisco Giants. Still ahead on the show, we've got our Big Five. Tony Gwynn Jr. will rejoin us for that. And also a visit with Scott Hansen, the host of the NFL Red Zone. I know you'll enjoy that. But right now, something new, something exciting. And before we get to it, Scraby's going to take care of a little bit. We're going to make you wait just a little longer out there. A little longer, because you got to take care of this business.
I do. Coming up in the next 30 minutes, listen for your name to be called and call us back at 833-288-0973 to win a pair of tickets to see the Padres host the Cubs on Wednesday, September 11th, plus two tickets to see the San Diego State Aztecs home opener this Saturday versus Weber State. You'll also be entered into our grand prize drawing for a two-night stay at the Flamingo Hotel on the Vegas Strip and tickets to see Paula Abdul's new show. Make sure you sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter.
Learn the name of our webpage, Graby.
I should have written that in.
No worries. All right, here she is. She's lovely, talented, and smart, and knows just about everything about college football. Skylar, how are you today? Thanks for coming on. Are you ready for your first week of picks?
I'm so excited. It's finally here. I've been counting down for months now. So
months?
For months?
Yeah, even though we only knew about this for like
a week,
10 days.
College football, week zero.
Oh, gotcha.
We've got all the good stuff finally happening.
College football, you're ready. No question about it.
I am ready.
All right, we had Skylar on last week to introduce her. She's an Alabama grad, loves her Crimson Tide. By the way, our general manager, Bob Bollinger.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that? He, while Skylar was away from her desk, he took a, because Bob likes Duke.
Yes.
So well, he's a Duke graduate.
Yeah. Yes. So he put a Duke shirt on her.
I did not see this,
on
actually.
Her desk.
This is great. Yes.
And apparently if, and what Alabama has to cover, 34-point spread?
Yes. 33.5-point spread.
33.5-point spread. Yes. Otherwise, Skylar has to wear a Duke shirt next
it's a
week.
Duke it's a Duke men's polo.
So I think if you win, then he should have to wear an Alabama women's t-shirt.
Oh, women's,
or
that could be
like
an idea
that.
So we talked about Alabama's big with houndstooth, because Bear Bryant used to wear houndstooth
hat. Yeah.
And so I guess Bob has a houndstooth hat for some reason, so he's gonna wear his houndstooth hat
with his Alabama skirt.
with an Alabama skirt.
I now may actually root for Alabama.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
that's how we can get Chris to cheer on Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide, right?
That's okay. The only way I can do that. Congratulate my favorite college football coach, Nick Saban. I love him.
You already do.
Yeah. All right, so here we go. It's our brand new segment. It's College Football Pick'em with Skylar. And we have our contestant. We're going to have a nice open for all of this. And
yes.
Scraby's going to package it all up nice and tidy as we move along. But each week, we're going to get one contestant to come on. And today's contestant is Mike from Lakeside. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great. How's everything going, Chris?
I'm doing well. Say hi to Skylar, your competition.
Hey, Skylar.
Hey, how's Mike. How's it going?
All right. Now, here's the way this is going to work. Very simple. We pick five games off the board for this week in college football. Try to make them five competitive, interesting games. And Skyler's going to pick first, and then and it's just no spread. You don't have to worry about the spread. Skyler will pick first, and then you'll pick who you think's going to win the game, Mike. And here's the rub now. There's five games. In order for you to win the tickets, and we'll tell you what your prize package is if you win, and it's a nice prize package, it's worth winning. But in order to win, you have to beat Skyler. You have to beat her. If you guys tie, then tie goes to Skyler. So do you kind of get that, Mike? I mean, the point being
odds are stacked against Mike.
A little bit. Yeah, it's a little tough, but hey, Mike can handle it. I'm pretty sure Mike can handle it. And here's the deal, Mike. Obviously, you don't want to pick the same five as Skyler picks because then you wouldn't be able to beat her, right? At some point, you're going to have to disagree with her. Or you could disagree with her on...
on all of them.
All of the games.
Yep.
Depending on what we hear.
I'm going to have to do some reverse psychology here. This is going to be good.
All right. Well, you try the reverse psychology. Skyler, like I said, is an Alabama grad. I don't know that it'll work. All right, here we go. It's our first week of doing this, so we're just giving it a shot. Skyler, are you ready for the first game?
I am
on the board.
Ready.
It will be a game played later tonight between Utah and BYU. And these are two rivals, obviously, and they are playing for the 100th time.
Yep.
Wow.
Ever.
Oh, she said yep. Like,
oh, she knows.
She already knows.
She knows. Yeah. Do you know that Utah's won 8 straight in the rivalry?
I do know. It was a very close game last year. I do know that. And I do know they were actually down last year, and they came back and won it.
You're right. Yep. BYU was ahead 20-0 last year.
Yeah. I knew nothing of that, by the way.
Oh, no. Skyler's prepared. So, anyway, Skyler, that's the first matchup, Utah and BYU. Pick the game, and what do you think?
Okay, so this one was actually pretty easy for me.
Oh, why?
I'm going to go Utah because...
Why is it so easy for
I you? I think that I'm a huge proponent of defense wins championships.
Okay.
And Utah has the top defense in the Pac-12 right now.
Uh-huh.
For that reason, I really think that Utah is going to win. BYU has a little bit of a upper hand. They're playing at home, so they're going to be real hyped off of the crowd, super excited. They're going to start off strong. But Utah's just a much more experienced team, and I think that this experience is going to show really well in the second half. I think Utah's going to come back stronger in the second half. Mm. I think they're going to dominate, and I do think they're going to win.
Mike, I think you're in trouble. I think you're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, and I'm just going to agree. And I'm really hoping that I'm not going to agree with everything. And I really wish I didn't pick Utah. And, yeah, that's great. Let's move on, Jen.
Okay, so you're going to... What did he say?
Let's move on.
Okay, we'll move on. You're going to take Utah also. All right, so both of you guys are going with
easily.
Utah. All right, the second game is being played tomorrow. So we'll have one game tonight, one game tomorrow, and then three on Saturday. This is another rivalry game, in-state rivalry. Colorado State out of the Mountain West.
I went there.
Oh, this could change a lot. Going up against Colorado. So I think you throw out the records, you know, when Colorado State plays Colorado.
Yep.
I mean, it's just one of those dogfights. And I think they play the game. They used to play the game in Denver.
I think they still do.
Broncos Stadium.
I think they still do.
Yeah, so it's a neutral site. All right, Skyler, tell us a little bit about this game, Colorado State, Colorado.
I kind of think this one's also a no-brainer. I think most people are going to go with Colorado on this one. They've won, I think, 5 of the last matchups, maybe more.
Okay.
So I definitely think they have a huge advantage. They've have like a huge skill kind of advantage, in my opinion. They're under a new defense, new coaching staff. I think that's going to fall into place really nicely, and I just think that that's going to.
So you're picking the Buffaloes.
Uh huh. I think they're going to continue their winning streak.
All right. Well, that was a bad pick, but.
I hope not.
We'll see. We'll see if Mike agrees with you. Mike, you want to go Colorado or you want to go the other way here?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Colorado as well and kind of just hope that something's going to flip for me here.
So. Something will flip. We got some good games. I'll tell you, it was a tough week to come up with games. This is not the all-time greatest first week of college football. All right, here's the next game.
Smartest game of the weekend. Northwestern against Stanford.
Wow.
Yeah, nobody's going to be able to outsmart anybody in this game. Skylar, go.
I think this is going to be a super interesting game this weekend, actually. It wasn't as easy of a choice for me. I think Northwestern's a little bit of a question mark. They've got a transfer quarterback coming in from Clemson. But I don't really think that they have as strong of an O-line to kind of get this quarterback comfortable in time. I think Stanford's going to come on top of this matchup.
All right.
Stanford and Northwestern. Now, Northwestern won the its division of the Big Ten last year.
It did.
They had a great year.
Yeah, and Northwestern actually beat Stanford the last time they met up in a season opener. Okay. Northwestern upset Stanford, actually. And it's kind of believed that that was the game that cost Stanford their spot in the playoff games that year.
The BCS there.
Yeah.
Wow. Skyler's all over it. All right, Stanford, Mike, or are you going to go with Northwestern?
I'm going to go with Stanford. If the next two games after this, if I'm not going to flip anything, I might go back and make this my flip. But let's go with Stanford for now.
Going for Stanford. Okay. Mike does reserve the right. I think that's fair to flip a game later. All right. We've got one of the great Mountain West Conference teams, Boise State, going down to Florida State.
The game has been moved, too.
Yes, it has.
Due to weather.
Just because of weather. They were going to play at a neutral site in Jacksonville, but now they're playing it at Tallahassee, which is Florida State's home advantage.
That helps. That's a huge advantage.
But Florida State was horrible last year. I don't even think they made a bowl game.
No, they had a pretty rough season last year.
I don't think they had a winning record. Yeah.
Or Boise State or Florida State? Skylar, what do you got?
I'm definitely going Florida State on this one. I have a few reasons why. Again, with the defense, Florida State, they're bringing back 16 of their top 20 tacklers. I think that's going to play a huge role in this game.
By the way, she's reading off this stuff, not off a piece of paper. It's she's got it memorized.
She does, because I was looking like, where is she getting this
information
from?
She has all this memorized.
Brain,
it's incredible.
Yeah.
All right, Skylar.
So I really think Florida State's going to come on top of this one. Like you guys were saying, too, with the weather, that's one thing I took into consideration making this pick. It's so hot in Florida. I mean, they're going to be playing in temperatures probably around 90 degrees, high humidity, and I just don't think that's something that the Boise State players are as prepared for.
Mm. All right, Mike, you got one game after this one. You going with Skylar again?
Yeah, I'm taking FSU all day over that team, so I'll go Florida State.
All right, here's the last game. And this is a toss-up game, so I think you guys could end up disagreeing on this one. I don't know.
This might be the one that we have.
This might be the one that decides it. We'll see. Oregon against Auburn. Now, keep in mind, Skylar went to Alabama.
Right.
I don't know that it's even
possible
for her to pick Auburn. I don't know if she's allowed
War
to pick
Eagle.
Auburn. I mean, if you pick Auburn and we put this on tape and send it to your friends from Alabama,
they
may never speak
to
you again.
Fair enough. I guess we'll have to find out.
Well, let's find out now. Who are you picking?
So here are my thoughts at this one. Auburn's coming in with a huge SEC defense. Oregon's coming in with one of the top offenses, one of the top quarterbacks in college football right now.
Yeah.
They returned five of their offensive linemen.
She's all off the top of her head.
Yeah. So this is a big game, SEC versus Pac-12. Who's going to come out on top? But I think I'm going to have to stick with the SEC on this one.
Wow!
And I think I'm going to pick Auburn to put a stop to the Oregon offense.
Wow. All right, Mike. You basically have all five games you can choose from. Because if you don't want to pick Oregon, you can differ on another game. Because I want to give you a chance to win, obviously. But if you want Oregon, you can take Oregon. So you decide.
Yeah, anytime Pac-12 speed kind of meets an SEC team, it seems like they always kind of flutter. And I love me some SEC football. I'm going to take take Auburn, and I'm going to say my flip game. I'm going to flip the Stanford game. I'm going to take Northwestern. I'm going to make Northwestern. I'm going to take the win at Northwestern over Stanford. I'm going to make that my flip game.
Okay. So that's going to actually be the one that decides it. Mike, we'll be back with you on Monday. Find out if you win. Good luck.
Hang on the line. Thomas is going to get your information real quick.
Yeah. And
thank you,
Skylar,
Mike.
My goodness. She's going to be tough to beat this year.
That's the goal, right?
Yes.
Yes, that's the idea. We don't want you to come on here and do poorly.
Yeah,
we want you to make it tough.
I mean, it's going to get harder as the seasons go on. The matchups, I mean, even next week we've got some closer matchups. I think with the week zero games, it's a little bit difficult.
I can't believe you picked Auburn.
I know.
I can't believe you picked Auburn.
You know, that was the biggest toss-up for me. There was a few things that went into it. But that's
collectively Alabama right now.
You know, one thing...
Nick Saban's going to kick you out of church.
One thing I will
say,
the SEC does stick together with games like this because we want to present a strong front. We want the SEC to look good. It doesn't look good for the SEC if we're losing against outside conference teams. So, surprisingly...
You told me a couple of weeks ago that you are not even allowed to wear the colors blue and orange in any way, shape, or form because those are Auburn's colors.
You can
yet
wear
you're still
blue,
picking them to win.
You just can't wear blue and orange together. But I am going. It was a toss-up for sure. I went back and forth for a long time. I did consider picking Oregon.
What am I missing here? What am I missing?
I don't know. you're missing the fact that Skylar's pretty smart.
She's smart. A gut feeling. I have.
Okay.
Good job.
There's our picks. There's our first college football pick segment. We'll see how it all turns out. Skylar, great job. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see how you do. Monday we'll have the results. Meanwhile, Gwen and Chris continues after this short break.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, I thought Skylar did a great job. And most impressively, like I said, she wasn't reading any of that stuff.
No.
Like, she just had it all down pat.
Which is pretty impressive.
But she's not made my wife, Lori, very happy.
Why?
Because my wife, Lori, went to Colorado State.
Oh, she's a fellow Ram?
Yes. My wife, Lori, did not like that pick of Colorado by either Skylar or our contestant, Mike. So we will see how it all turns out this weekend in our first college football pick'em segment. By the way, Aztecs open up their season Saturday against Weber State. And before you just go ahead and think this is like an automatic W for the Aztecs, I know Rocky Long doesn't think that. I actually saw odds on this game. They don't normally put out odds for games between an FBS and an FCS school.
It's usually such a mismatch.
7.5 points. That's it.
Wow, that is way closer than I would have thought.
That's pretty close, right? So Weber State was really, really good last year. The Aztecs better be ready to go Saturday because otherwise they're going to be embarrassed. There's only one way to say that. You'll be embarrassed if you lose to Weber State. You just will be.
They almost lost to Sacramento State last year, and that was bad.
That was...
way worse than it would be if Weber State...
Hey, I remember them losing to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo not once, but twice. Mm. That was before the Brady Hoke, Rocky Long era. By the way, Brady Hoke is back this year.
He is.
As a defensive line coach. So, we'll see. I mean, the Aztecs were 7-6 last year, and obviously lost their last four games. But to me, it's all going to come down. You have to take care of the thing on Weber State, but then if you beat UCLA, then you've had a good season, pretty much. Now you can't finish 2-9,
no.
But UCLA next week—that's the big one for them. Michael Tarantino, you are our biggest fan today. Hey, Michael, you have 10 minutes to call us back, 833-288-0973. Pair of tickets to see the Padres and the Cubs on September the 11th. Plus, a bonus, we'll sneak you in a couple of pairs of tickets to see that Aztec home opener this Saturday night against Weber State. Michael, you'll also be entered to win our grand prize road trip to Las Vegas. Includes a two-night stay at the newly renovated Flamingo Las Vegas, along with tickets to see Paula Abdul's new show I mean, all kinds of stuff from Michael Tarantino, our biggest fan today. Call in. You've got 10 minutes, Michael, 833-288-0973. And if you're out there listening, wonder why we haven't called your name, sign up. Go to 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. Get entered, and we could be calling your name soon for a great prize package.
I think Michael is actually very active with us on Twitter. His name sounds very familiar.
All right. Well, hopefully Michael is listening, and he will be a winner of a nice prize package coming up here in the next 10 minutes. When we come back on Gwen and Chris, Tony rejoins me for a round of the Big Five. Good one today. That's coming up next. And still ahead, Scott Hansen from the NFL Network, the host of the NFL Red Zone show. Believe it or not, I came up with an idea that Scott Hansen thought was a pretty good idea.
Ooh.
Whether or not they're going to be able to change, that is the question.
Do you think he's going to walk into his, like... His,
he said he was going to. He said he's going to walk into his producers and bring that up.
Wow.
I was very honored by
I
that.
Haven't heard this. I can't wait.
Yeah, I had a little suggestion. I mean, look, I don't think the Red Zone show can be improved a whole lot. But there was one little sneaky thing that I thought of, and I mentioned it to Scott Hansen. He said he's going to mention it to his producers. So anyway, be on the lookout for that. That's coming up as the program continues. Padre pregame at 5:45. Padres Giants at 6:45. Gwen and Chris continues next on your home for Padre Baseball, 97.3 The Fan. All right, Gwen and Chris back at you Thursday evening, 4:36 the time. High school football back on the Fan. Tomorrow night, bring you San Diego CIF football, Mater Dei.
Wow,
Crusaders
Mater Dei, huh?
Take on the Grossmont Foothillers, East County. Game can be heard for free on radio.com and the radio.com app. Make sure to download radio.com, the app, to hear the game from 97.3 The Fan. Braden Suprenant, by the way, does a really... Really, really, really using one of your
takes really,
there.
Really, really?
Really, really, really good job of calling those games with the coach, John Quintera. I always enjoy listening to those guys call those high school games. Last week was a great game. I can only say that because Tony's not here.
Because Poway lost?
Poway lost. Yeah, Granite Hills beat him 28-24. But
wow.
Coach told me it was a really good game, and good game coming up tomorrow night, our high school game of the week. So... make sure you check that out and get that radio.com app downloaded so you can listen to tomorrow night's game between Mater Dei and Grossmont. Braden was telling me, I think, that Mater Dei has a freshman who is 6'8", 230 pounds.
A freshman? Aren't freshmen like 14?
I'm just leaving it at that. That's what Braden told me.
My goodness.
6'8", 230? Wow.
You know, I saw Matt Leinart play when he played for Mater Dei, right?
Well, he played for Mater Dei in Santa Ana. This is Mater Dei in the South Bay.
Oh,
yeah. This is Mater Dei here in the South Bay.
Whoops.
The San Diego version of Mater Dei.
Gotcha.
Yeah. They're good. They're always good. And Grossmont's always good. So it's going to be a good game. But yeah, you're thinking of the Mater Dei in like Anaheim or Santa Ana.
Yeah, I went up to see a game with my dad when they played De La Salle back in the day. Matt Leinart was the quarterback.
Yeah. Bet you didn't see any freshmen who were 6'8", 230.
Did not. No.
Yeah.
Did not.
All right. That's the game tomorrow night. Right now it's time for Tony to come back for a Big Five.
And the Big Five is brought to you by EcoWater Water Systems. EcoWater Water Systems provide crystal clear, really, 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 really clean water for your home or business. Find them at EcoWater. That's ECOWaterSD.com. Let's get going.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls of fire!
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Another day, another Big Five. If you have any Big Five topics, find me on Twitter at Matt Scraby. Let's get into it.
Number five.
The Baltimore Orioles' emotions boiled over to the surface again last night as reliever Richard Bleier and third base coach Jose David Flores took part in an obscenity-filled shouting match in the dugout and clubhouse tunnel last night. This happened in the fifth inning. Bleier and Flores can be seen heatedly arguing about what was said to be the positioning of fielders. Quote, I think I just let frustration kind of boil over, Bleier said. Some stuff about some balls that I thought maybe defensive positioning, I guess. I probably could have done better for myself to keep my mouth shut. And unfortunately, I may have said something. You guys saw the rest, end quote. Before being pulled, Bleier allowed 3 runs on 4 hits while recording 1 out. So, Tony, is this just a normal incident, or is this showing the team's coaching staff has no control in Baltimore?
All of the above. This is a bad team. When you're on a bad team, frustration spills out in front of eyes other than in the clubhouse all the time. And the one thing that I've noticed is this is now, what, the second incident in like 3 weeks where it's involved a player and a coach. We don't know what the incident was with Chris Davis.
Correct.
But we do know that in this particular situation, I played with Bleier.
Oh.
I played with him. He was in Toronto. I think he was in Philly when I played with him. And that's his bat. That's one of those things that all pitchers have to deal with in this day and age of baseball shifts. I remember Clayton Kershaw being upset many a times on balls he felt like should be out. But you just don't air your grievances in the dugout. You wait till after the game, or if it's pertinent, you call the whoever's making the decision. You ask them to come down to the tunnel. Don't do it out in front. A lot of this has to do with a lack of leadership, not on the coaching staff, but from a player standpoint. It seemed like guys just don't know the right way to go about things, and he admitted that on his own, basically saying, I probably should have kept my mouth shut and just waited to say it. So I think this is indicative of being on a bad team and, you know, some players not really knowing right from wrong, seems like.
Good answer. Chris, what do you think? Do you think this shows that there's no there's no control in Baltimore?
There's definitely a lack of leadership, and it's probably mostly on the team itself. Although when you're losing so much, I don't see how the coaches and managers can really have the 100% attention and respect of the players. You're just losing too many games. So when they're positioning fielders and balls are falling in, guys are going to get upset. However, having said that, I'm sure that during this season, the positioning of the Baltimore fielders has probably made a couple of plays on balls that Bleier gave up that might not have otherwise been made, and tend to forget about that sometimes. Number two, I don't care what happens in terms of positioning the fielders. You still have a job to do, and his job on that play was to go back up home plate and third base, and he didn't do it. He just walked toward the dugout and basically showed up his entire team and showed off his disgust to everybody. So I thought Flores had every right to undress him when he got back to the lock. It would have been better to undress him down in the tunnel, like you say, Tony, but I can understand why the coach was upset, because
100%.
This guy didn't even hustle. He didn't even try to hustle. He just basically gave an FU to his own teammates and coaches, and that's completely unacceptable as far as I'm concerned. So,
Good stuff.
It's a mess.
And there was TV cameras everywhere. And, of course, the broadcast is good.
There's always TV.
Yeah.
That's my point, is that there's always TV cameras. He didn't even let his manager get all the way out. His manager said, again, I would have liked to have seen him hold the ball a little bit longer before I got there, before he like kind of
tossed it.
He didn't toss it. He just came off the mound and handed it to him.
He didn't pull a Chris Ello and toss it at the third base
he didn't
chalk
pull a
line
Chris
like
Ello.
I did one time.
But it's And you can hear it in Blyer's voice that he knew he probably was out of pocket.
He messed up, but they're a messed up team. So I agree with Tony. I'm surprised this hasn't happened even more. I mean, losing takes its toll. And you know, we don't think it does, but...
It's more so in baseball than any other sport,
right, because it happens every day.
Every day.
Number four.
For most major leaguers, four games isn't a long dry spell without a home run, but when it involves Reds right fielder Aristides Aquino, it sure can seem like it with the type of month he's having. During a 5-0 victory over the Marlins yesterday, the rookie slugger connected for a 3-run home run in the first inning, making him the first major leaguer in the modern era to reach 13 homers in 100 career plate appearances. So, Chris, out of all the rookies in baseball this year that have made an impact, who has impressed you most?
Fernando Tatis Jr.
Easy.
No, not easy, but I mean, he's impressed me the most just because of his all-around skill and play. If you're going to talk about phenomenal statistics, I'm probably going to go to Yordan Alvarez of the Houston Astros, who has knocked in 62 runs in about 40 games. I mean, he's just been absolutely insane. And then Aquino's been remarkable as well, but fastest to 13 home runs, okay. Well, you know what? A couple of years ago, Trevor Story was the fastest guy ever to 8 home runs. And now there's somebody faster to 9 home runs. And everybody's setting these home run records right now because the ball is flying out of the park. Obviously, Aquino is off to a great start. He's going to have to do it for a whole lot longer before I'm ready to crown this guy. But no, if you're going to ask me who the most impressive rookie is in terms of all-around play, I'm going to say Fernando. But what Aquino's done is no less impressive. It's pretty good.
Tony, out of all the rookies in baseball that have made an impact this year, who has impressed you the most?
Fernando Tatis Jr. His consistency has been kind of jaw-dropping, honestly. You just don't see rookies able to consistently play at the level that he played at. Now, it's not taking away anything from this brilliant rookie class, but Tatis Jr., overall, did it the longest, right? I mean, you could argue he missed the 6 weeks, and now he's going to miss the rest of this part of the season. But when he was in there, he was the most consistent, most exciting. None of these other rookies was being mentioned in the same breath as Mike Trout. So
true.
I'm going to say Fernando Tatis Jr.
And none of those rookies were mentioned by Mike Trout themselves. So.
Number three.
NFL player Ryan Russell was drafted by the Cowboys in 2015 and has been on a few teams in the NFL, but he's making news for being honest. He wants people to know that he is bisexual, and he wants people to know it's okay to be an athlete and be bisexual. Here he is being interviewed by Jeremy Schapp of ESPN.
What does it mean to be a bisexual NFL player?
I think it means the same thing means to be a straight NFL player. Football is so much bigger than sexuality, obviously, and as though I'm proud of also these players for speaking the truth, it's time for us to just be proud of the NFL too, because I feel like they're ready for that opportunity. They're ready to embrace players that come out and that literally walk in their truth and are vulnerable with that way in their teammates, because team is a family. If you've been in that locker room, you understand it's a brotherhood, and as if you're waking up and sweating and sacrificing like the man next to you, there's respect there. No one's cares who you love in the locker room. It's if you love football, that's all that matters.
Thank you to ESPN for that. Tony, do you think the NFL is ready for openly gay and bisexual players?
Are they? I don't know. There's nothing of any evidence saying that they are. Who was the last cat from Missouri?
Michael Sam.
Michael Sam.
There we go.
Never heard from him after he came out.
Yeah. And he was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year.
He was
never
really
made
good.
Never made
Say
it.
Say that
into
one more time. What conference was that?
SEC Defensive Player
of the
Year.
And the NFL is littered with SEC defensive players on every roster.
Yeah.
And this is the Defensive Player of the Year. So, as much as I really want to believe that that is accurate, that the NFL is ready, clearly they're not. Is there anybody else that maybe I'm missing besides?
I don't think anybody's willing to admit it.
Right. So,
and that's the reason why, because they're not ready.
Exactly. That tells you that they're not ready.
Chris, I don't know that you know, first of all, I wish they were ready. And I wish the guy could come out. And well, he did. He came out and said his piece.
He's also a free agent, I might
say.
He's not signed. So,
it's going to be interesting.
This will be another test.
This will be another test to see if somebody picks him up. But I don't know. That's George Carlin used to have a very funny joke about bisexuals. And he just...
Can you share it here?
I don't know if I can. I'm going to try my best. But he said, could you imagine wanting to be with everybody you meet? That's goes basically, funny. He said, basically, you'd have to carry around the entire phone book with you. I don't know. I thought it was funny.
I do, too.
All right. But that's... Tony's right. I don't think we're ready yet. I wish we were, but we're not.
What about other sports? And quickly, do you think other sports are ahead of this? Are they all the same?
What active players come out in any sport?
You're right. I can't really think
of... So there's your answer.
I can't really think
Baseball is... sports, as we say, are a microcosm of society. And although it seems as though society has come a long way in those areas, there still is a long way to go.
Number three.
Ooh, that was number three, wasn't it?
Number two.
After sitting out of the NBA last season...
Was it number three?
I thought so.
We've done...
We did the Orioles. It was number...
Yeah, I think that was number three, wasn't it? Did we have one after the Orioles?
That was number three. This is number two.
Okay.
We're doing this in a new room today, so I'm a little lost. But after sitting out of the NBA last season, Joe
Johnson... You have an excuse as to why you're lost?
Yes, I was just thinking about that as I was trying to read. Joe Johnson returned to the court by joining the Tri-State Triplets of Ice Cube's 3-on-3 league, the Big Three. He dominated the league by winning MVP and leading his squad to the championship game being played this Sunday. The impressive run has actually led to the possibility of him getting back in the NBA. According to a report from ESPN's Mark Spears, Johnson is set to work out for the 76ers today and also has workouts planned with a number of other contenders, including the Bucks, Clippers, and Denver Nuggets. So, Chris, could the Big Three be a better option for players than the NBA Developmental League?
A better option? I'll say another option. I'm not going to go all the way and say it's a better option. I mean, a better option is to be kind of being watched by your own organization as part of a, quote, developmental league and part of a developmental team. But, yeah, I mean, these guys are getting to show off in this Big Three. And, it certainly showcases their offensive skills. You know, I don't know how much defense they play in the Big Three or have to play in the Big Three or how the defense even works in the Big Three. In terms of team defense, that's a totally different animal. But I think it's given guys another opportunity. And, you know, we've talked about this all week in discussing Andrew Luck's decision and difficult decision to retire. This isn't surprising that guys that are out of the NBA are staying around playing in some kind of professional league as long as they can, because this is as good as life gets. Mm-hmm. And so maybe Joe Johnson can work himself back into the NBA. But I don't think it's better than the developmental league, because they're really keeping a closer eye on those guys.
Tony, could the Big Three be a better option for players than the NBA Developmental League?
I'm with Chris. It's another option, right? Because ISO Joe, he has a reputation in the NBA. So there's some feels there already.
They know what he can bring.
Exactly. They know what to expect of him, too, because he was pretty much doing this towards the end of his NBA run.
Three on three just leaves two less guys to cover him.
Exactly. So I think this is another avenue. It's great for the Big Three as an organization, right? Because if they can tell these older players, listen, you'll get a look from the NBA if you take care of business. It only makes their league stronger, so good for the Big Three. And I think it is just another option. I won't say that it's the best option at this point.
Number one.
A lot of people have talked about 49ers quarterback Jimmy G and his struggles in the preseason this year, including this show. But he may just have a reason for struggling so much. He was on with Tolbert, Kruger, and Brooks on KNBR in the Bay Area and explained why he may have looked a little rusty this preseason.
You know, well, a big part of that is it's still being preseason, or in practice you try things like that. During a real game you wouldn't make that throw or that decision specifically, but there's a trust factor between quarterback and whether it's receiver, tight end, running back, whoever's catching the ball, and just the more you try those things, you know, you see who's going to make the play for you in the crucial situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you put in a good spot for them to make a play, you expect them to make a play, and they expect you to give them a chance to make the play. So I think it works both ways. Just, you know, them trusting me, me trusting them. And like just we were saying before, that comes with reps.
So there you have it. The reason Jimmy G has been a little rusty this preseason is because he's trying things that he doesn't normally try during the season. Chris is giving me the eye roll, but Tony, you're up first. Do you buy what he just said? Do you think that he's just trying things?
I believe he's trying things. I'm not going to say that all of his turnovers are due to him solely trying things. I mean, that's ridiculous. I think his competitive juices kick in at some point. It's like, all right, I'm done trying things. I just threw
four interceptions in a row.
Five.
Oh, wait, there's five.
Yeah,
oh.
So ultimately, there's some parts of that belief. I think he's telling half-truths here. Like, yes, you do try things in the prison, but no, all of your turnovers aren't connected to you, quote-unquote, trying things.
Chris, what do you think?
I think he's full of crap.
What?
He is. I mean, come on.
He's thrown into tight windows.
Every single quarterback in the NFL is doing the exact same thing in the preseason. They're all trying things in the preseason. They're all trying things in practice. They're not all throwing five interceptions in a row. So I'm not giving him a pass on that. There's one way that Jimmy G can get over his miserable preseason, and has to go out there in the first game against Tampa Bay and light it up, and then I and everyone else will shut up.
Indeed.
Very nice. Very nice. Good Big Five, guys.
You've survived another edition of the Big Five on 97.3 The Fan.
And the Big Five is brought to you by EcoWater Water Systems. Great tasting, crystal clear, odor-free, virtually contaminant-free water for drinking, bathing, and cooking. EcoWater Water Systems. That's really, 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 really clean water. Find them at EcoWater. That's ECOWaterSD.com.
And we thank EcoWater for sponsoring our Big Five.
Yes.
Huh?
I love them.
That. Very cool. Good program today. Chrisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. We've got Scott Hansen from the NFL Network. He will join us here in the next 15 minutes or so. He's not just from the NFL Network. He's the host of the Red Zone. Come on. It's the
Thomas, what is it? What does he say every time, every Sunday? What does Scott Hansen say? Thomas did this the other day.
Oh, huh? 7 hours of commercial-free football starts now.
Oh, that's so good to hear.
That's a great, great feeling to hear that. He told us that the GOAT actually watches the Red Zone channel when they're not playing.
Who, Jerry Rice?
Oh, you're just trying to stick it to Thomas now. I'll let you two guys fight that out.
He's wearing a tie-dyed Patriots shirt right now.
Super Bowl champions, baby.
Ugh.
You wish you could wear one. Gwynn and Chris, coming on back. 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.